You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. All right, you crazy kids. Welcome to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. I'm John Rabin, and this is episode 129. Whoa. I'm recording this in the evening. Tuesday evening, to be exact. It's weird. It's a weird time to do this. I don't think I've ever done this at night that I can remember. So this might be a different kind of energy for me. I feel like I don't remember talking all that much today, but I feel like as I'm going into this, all of a sudden I feel like, you know, like my voice is tired and I don't understand. I guess I'm so used to getting ready. You know, I do normally used to do it earlier in the day, and I probably will go back to doing that. But right now, there's an issue with the apartment complex where I live is doing renovations. They're like, hey, finally, we're going to renovate. Oh, good. Does that mean you're going to start hammering and sawing at 8 or 9 in the morning? No. Sometimes they start at 7:30 in the morning. Every morning. They do take Sundays off, but they're replacing all the siding and everything, and they randomly choose different spots. I don't think that they have a plan. They just have to get it all done at some point. And they work like they're being paid by the hour. So that's good. So rather than have you hear all that while I try to record and me reenact the scene in Scrooged where I just go, can you please stop the goddamn hammering all the time? I thought maybe for a while at least, we'll see how long it takes them to fix the goddamn siding on the apartment complex, and you know, so that it looks like a newer place and nicer, but it's the same shit on the inside that they don't really update. Okay, so that's what's going on there. Hope you're doing all right. It has been, yesterday was crazy, as you know. Electoral College, and also they started giving out the vaccine. So it's like two big things happened in one day. Also, unrelated to both of those, actually kind of related to the vaccine thing, I guess, kind of related to coronavirus, I guess, is I decided to shave my head. Take a drink of water, excuse me. I'm sure you heard that. That's right. I shaved my head. Why, you ask? Because I wanted to. Because it's easy. Because I got tired of messing with my hair, spending money on it, and doing all kinds of things. Also, the whole idea to work on my hair and everything and look nice was for the wedding and for wedding photos, and they turned out great. But the wedding's over. And I thought to myself, and I kind of wanted to shave, you know, just, I kind of wanted to buzz my head for like the whole time, honestly, because I was sitting here going, why am I looking good for my living room? I'm not going anywhere. Why would I make myself pretty because of your wife? No, she loves me anyway. Why would I do this? So I decided to go ahead and do it. And by shaving my head, I've immediately decided that I would be a hat guy. Because it's cold. So I've been trying different hats. This is the exciting, all the stuff going on in the world, but I am browsing hats. That's what's going on with me. It's not a lot, but you know, that's something. Other than that, I'm kind of hanging in there. I had a, let's see. Oh yeah. I actually wrote this down. I actually wrote this down as a note because, it just, I don't know. I cannot stress enough. Now there are times that I let things go, with coworkers who play music at work, that they play Pandora or they'll play Spotify, but they don't pay for it. So we have to listen to ads. And that sucks because Pandora is cheap as fuck and Spotify is fairly cheap. It's both are less than paying for two cups of coffee. It's like two cups of coffee for a month. For listening, for something that you're going to listen to multiple hours every day. Imagine paying, you're paying less than $10 for what? Like 100 hours of music for 100 to, for 100 to 400, whatever, something like that, that many hours a month. It's, I can't, or you know what you do even better? This is what I wrote down. Don't even do that. Do YouTube Music. Do YouTube Premium and you get YouTube Music. Let me just, because my wife was like, fuck ads. Like she angrily hates advertising. Like I, you know, I ignore it and I'm like, ugh, let me just skip the ad. But she hates it so much. She's like, I'm paying for premium. And I'm like, all right. And then she got me on the plan. So that was good. But I found out how much it is. It's like super fucking cheap. Think about how much YouTube you watch every day. Now, what I just said about coffee, think of never having to see another ad on YouTube. Would that be worth skipping three coffees, buying three? Like three trips in a month to Starbucks. Just three. Wouldn't that be worth... I'm not trying to sell... YouTube doesn't need my revenue stream. But I'm telling you, on a personal level, never having to see ads on YouTube is fucking beautiful. It's amazing. Like, you don't really even think about it. Like, I'm not paying, what, $11 or whatever it is. I don't know what it is. I saw it. It's something like that. It's... whatever, for like the family plan. So it's like more than, you know, you and somebody else in your household or whatever. I think for like two people, it's like 12. For like two people, it's like 12 bucks. So you get in with somebody and you go, look, give me $6 and you'll never have to see an ad. But think about that. Think about paying $6 and never having to see another fucking ad on YouTube. It's amazing. It's like, I don't want to give Google any more of my money. You're going to anyway. You might as well not see any advertising. At least not that way. At least not through interrupt every video. I mean, how much, think about how much that sucks. We should have done this in March. Knowing we were going to be inside all this time for this whole year. We could have gone ad free this whole year. I can't, you know, I'm so late to the game, but I can't believe nobody else has just gone, man, YouTube Premium is the shit. I've never heard anybody say that, but I'm saying it. YouTube Premium is the shit. I don't know why I'm advertising. I'm not really advertising as much as I'm telling you to make your life that much more. No, not that. That less annoying. Make your life that less annoying. Try YouTube Premium. There's your advertise. There's your commercial. Print that. Oh. I just saw myself in the mirror. I'm wearing my, took my contacts out and I'm wearing my black rimmed glasses. Because I'm older and you gotta take your contacts out. Earlier in the evening than when you were younger. Because of my astigmatism. Anyway, I'm wearing my black rimmed glasses. I have a shaved head. I look like Stanley Tucci does now, only without all the muscles, because because he's oddly buff. Anyway. I also... My notes here. What I wanted to talk about... I don't know who... this is not going to help anybody, but it's just going to help me feel better. I just want to give... There's three things that you can do to make life better for everybody when driving. Okay. You can actually make the world a better place if you do these three things. And I think it'll save lives. It will make traffic less shitty if everyone did these three things. This is people can't drive. My response to how people can't drive. All right, the only three things. And you know what? Pass this along. Everybody that you see that you know that drives, and you know that drives shittily and probably needs this, pass along these three tips. Number one, stop looking at your fucking phone. Right there. Or don't use your phone, or get that installation like you're an Uber driver so that it's right there. So either don't look at it or have it up there. Like right there, like just on the dash, just where you can glance down, but you're not like looking down. All right. So that's one. Number two, but number one's the most important, I think. No, actually, number two is just as important. Number two, use your fucking blinkers for every use. If you're going to turn left, use your blinker. If you're going to turn right, use your blinker. Use your blinkers. Always. Don't go, I'm just turning right. Use your blinkers so that people know what the fuck you're doing. Because that way, if you ignore the first tip and you do look at your phone or whatever, if you drive shittily like that, if you're not good, at least people know what your intention is. Because if you're constantly using your blinker, people know where you're going. And you're less likely to leave your blinker on the one time you use it, and then you're turning right around the world as you're going down the highway or whatever. Just that's the big thing. We want to know where the fuck you're going. What are you thinking? Use your blinkers. So number one, stay off your fucking phone. Number two, use your blinkers. And number three, if you're turning left at an intersection and you're waiting for traffic to pass, pull forward into the intersection. It's scary, I know. But if you pull forward, there's a chance that the person behind you will get to turn left as well. Also, you're guaranteed a spot. You don't have to wait. If you get caught at the light, people will wait for you to turn out of the intersection and you can go, and the person behind you gets the first shot after the light versus having to wait for you to sit there. I've seen so many people just sit there and they don't pull forward. They just sit there and they wait, and then it's like, oh, and then they start to pull forward and either they don't make it in time or they fuck everybody behind them. Pull forward. That's not as important as one and two, but it's pretty damn important. And if you do those three things, if everybody just did those three things, now they wouldn't make everybody that much better of a driver. Not everybody's going to be a great driver, but it'll make everybody less shitty. And the world will suck a little bit less. It'll prevent accidents. It'll prevent some deaths. You'll save lives. People will be in a better mood, specifically me. And I don't know. It's easy. You don't have to go volunteer at a shelter or any kind of shit. Just use your blinker. John, is this because you had some problems in traffic? It is. It is. That's exactly what it is. Driving to and from work, I had kind of some issues. Thought I'd, and those are the solutions. That's the solutions that I came up with due to the issues that I experienced on my way to and from work. So I felt it was important. Thank you for being patient with me. It's good. Hey, all right. I can't deal. I can totally deal with them. Cats, man. Animals. At a stop, one of my cats decides she wants in. She's not happy with the door being shut while I'm recording. Recording in the bedroom. My wife is in the living room, right? And so the cat was out there. So she started meowing. So I opened the door. Cat doesn't want in. Cat just doesn't want the door shut. She just wants the option to come into the room, which she doesn't want to do right then. It's just more of a, hey. And then she like ran away because she knew I was pissed. It's like, I'm doing something. She's from here. And she starts running. I'm like, no, you know what? So I went and grabbed her. And she's got like a box in our closet that she likes to hang out in. Like we rearranged the closet and everything because she liked to sleep on clothes. So we just rearranged everything, but left the box so that she just sleeps in there. And we put clothes in there that we don't wear so that she thinks he's still like, haha, I'm fucking up your clothes. And it's like, joke's on you. We don't wear that shit. Anyway, I went and put her in her box. So I'm like, no, you wanted the door open. You want it in. You know. So, anyway, that just happened. The dog hasn't done anything yet. He usually likes to bark at some point. Like, I don't think he didn't intentionally want to bark, but it just so happens. He always likes to bark at somebody walking by, which is usually the neighbor who walks by twice, you know, once when he's leaving and once when he's coming back, every day. And the dog has lived here when my wife moved in. So the dog's been here a year. It's the same neighbor who walks by twice a day. Dog barks every time. And then the dog, we had a big, you know, when the big front came in, the wind was blowing like a motherfucker. The dog, Lucas, was barking at wind. He was barking at weather. And that was a new one. I'm like, why are you... there's nothing. Are you a meteorologist? What's going on here? But then I started thinking maybe he wasn't barking at, you know, because like, are you dumb? It's wind, bro. You know, but maybe... Maybe what he's actually doing is maybe he was barking to try to warn us about the dangers of climate change. Maybe he was like going, look, you guys obviously do not see what's coming. I can sense it. Do something about this. Maybe that's what he was barking. Maybe he's an activist now. I don't know. I'll work on it, Lucas. I'll see what I can do, all right? Anyway, so the animals are kind of chilled out. I don't really have much more to talk about, to be honest. I hope everybody's doing all right emotionally. In recovery, those of you in recovery, I hope sobriety's going well. As well as could be. Not well like, everything's great, isn't it? We're teetering as a country and as a species. But other than that, everything's going great. No, I'm hoping you're doing all right. Hope you're staying sober. If you're sober, hope you're staying sane. If you're not sober. And I do appreciate you listening. Knowing that this is a quote-unquote sobriety podcast. It's not really. but I'm a comedian. So maybe it's a comedy podcast. It's not really. Anyway, you know, the thing about it is that I was thinking about in relations to sobriety is it's interesting when when I used to go to meetings. Most of the time, I because I was required to by Travis County and the state of Texas. When I would go to meetings and there would be people like speaker meetings, and these were meetings not when the masses would share, when it was just like one person like was scheduled to speak, and then you'd go and listen to them and become inspired, theoretically. And the speaker meetings were interesting because it really, they came across as somebody who was winning, like somebody who's like was successful in their recovery. And you keep them at a distance, but it was inspiring because you like that guy. Story implies that that guy is a piece of shit, or used to be a huge piece of shit. And if that huge piece of shit could turn it around and be 10 years sober, I could do that. That's kind of the whole idea. You know, like, wow, I was never that bad. Who knows if he's not, you know, he's kind of bragging. It's weird. It's weird how you kind of brag about how big of a piece of shit you were, but all right. And the thing about it is that I was part of that, you know, a couple of the meetings. It's like a community, you know, everyone's still anonymous, but not really. I mean, kind of anonymous, but you still knew people in your groups that you would see on a regular basis when you'd go, and you'd see speakers, you know, on speaker meetings, you see people give their testimony. I'd say testimony, but that's more of a Christ thing, Christian thing, but it's the same thing. But, you know, for 12-step, right? You'd see people and yeah, just at their story and their speech and whatever, it's inspiring. You're like, man, that person was at his lowest and he got him and pulled it together. And look how he's doing now. But then later on, you'd get to know people. And you'd find out that they were still broken. They just didn't drink. Like some of them would fix, some of them improved and gotten better, and some were better, but some, you know, still really fucked up. Because it's, you know, it's serious. Addiction's fucking serious. It, you know, alcoholism and drug addiction can destroy you, and, you know, you never come back 100%. A lot of people, right? But you find out that the person, you know, your image of them that inspired you, you find out more and more that they're imperfect, you know, because they're not robots. And you find out more and more about them and you kind of get disappointed. And it's also, it reminds me of that whole, the saying of never meet your heroes. Because the whole idea is that you'll be disappointed because they don't live up to how you put people in your head. And I think the thing about it is that it's what's weird about it is in the long run, I mean, I think as you get older though, you understand that it's not, you know, that there's context and there's subtlety and there's, you know, people are complex. Things are just more complex. It's not black and white, you know? But it's one of those things that I think as you get older, you finally realize that, that nobody's perfect. You know, when you're younger, it's real easy to, when you find out somebody's kind of an asshole, you're like, well, I am no longer going to listen to their music, or I'm not going to watch that movie that I really love because that guy's in there is not, he's not as cool as I thought he was. It's a little, I think that's a little immature. I think it's a little, I think it's stupid is what it is. It's not, you know, you've got expectations are too high for, and not very realistic for flawed human beings. And I think as you get older or more experienced in life or whatever, you start giving people, cutting people a little bit of slack. So that whole, which I've always thought they'd never meet your heroes. And I'm like, don't meet your heroes if you're a judgmental prick. Maybe it actually might be the better saying. Never meet your heroes if you're a judgmental prick. But do I have a point? Good question. Now, my point is this, is that it can be, it can hold back recovery if your inspiration is hindered by your judgment of somebody. That you got to give people some slack, that you can still be inspired by somebody that's imperfect. Does that make sense? That you can still, that to still be motivated by somebody that put their life together, that's, it's still a work in progress for them, but you don't judge them by where they are currently, like it's the end. You go, how far have they gone? Where were they? Where are they now? They're still on their journey and they're still getting better and they're going to trip up and fall because they're human. But still, you can still be inspired by the little bit of growth instead of being distracted by finding out that they're kind of shitty. But don't let that discourage you from your own journey. I guess I've been thinking about that because I saw a video of a guy who, of a celebrity who's sober, who, and it was a really great video, but then they relapsed years after the video was made, and knowing that they had relapsed earlier and was hiding it, like you know, it made the video kind of weird. So it'd be easy to kind of look at it and discount it as just kind of being, well, this guy's a hypocrite, you know, but it's still, what he said was true. And it was still inspiring. And I've just been sitting with that for a couple of days. So I thought I'd share, considering it was sort of related to what this podcast can be about sometimes. Thought I'd share that with you guys before I got out of here. I appreciate you joining me on this Tuesday evening. You're listening to this on a Wednesday or later. Anyway, you know what I mean. Thanks for joining me once again this week. Hope you have a good week. Hope you, I don't know, feel all right. Take care of yourself. Be careful out there. It's colder, which makes things more dangerous COVID-wise. Get some sleep. Take some vitamin D and zinc. Get some exercise. Eat good. Anyway, this has been the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. I'm John Raven. We'll see you next week. Later. Back down to earth again. The cold is creeping deep inside.